Greetings. Greetings, my dear and wonderful sisters and brothers of the human family. My dear and wonderful sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family. This is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. And this is thinkaboutit.org, the Mind of God program. Today's recording date is Sunday, August the 21st, 2011. And on the Mind of God program, we endeavor to climb up out of the wicked mind of the wicked ruling class and ruling families of this wicked world order. We want to climb up out of the mind of the House of Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers, the 1%, 2% Wall Street oligarchs and corporate plutocrats, those wealthy ones in power that are destroying the human family and would do so if it was not for the mercy, power, and grace of the Most High Father and Mother, Yahweh Ab, Yahweh M. We want to climb up out of that mentality. Leave off the mentality of warfare, bloodshed, division. And climb up into the mind of God, the mind of Christ, the mind of Yahweh, the mind of Namaste, Naskare, the mind of Jehovah, the mind of Allah, the mind of Brahm. We want to climb up into such mentality of righteousness so that we may find ourselves coming together and organizing together in the mind of Christ for freedom, justice, equality, the kingdom of God in heaven right here, right now on this earth. We are ready, willing, and able to ally ourselves with any political, revolutionary, and religious organization. Political organization, we are ready to unite in the name of Yahshua Christus, Heliai Selassie Jah Rastafari Jesus Christ, Nunim, in these last days of judgment in Babylon. Sister Benice is my producer, helper, engineer, facilitator, coordinator of this website and the Mind of God program, and you may contact me by emailing yahlove@comcast.net. Let us pause now and give thanks and praises unto the Most High Creator, Most High Creatress, Sustainer of creation and the universe. We give praises unto the Most High Father, the Almighty Creator. In the African Hebrew language, the Most High Father is known as Ab. And so if you put that together with Yahweh, Yahweh Ab is the Most High Father in the African Hebrew language. In the African Arabic language, the Father is known as Allah, A-L-L-A-H. In Egypt, the Most High Father is known as the Great, as Amen. Amen, the hidden and unseen Father. In the tradition of the indigenous peoples of the Western Hemisphere, more commonly known as Native Americans, the Most High Father is known as the Great and the Grandfather. We also pause to give thanks and praises to the Almighty Mother, our beautiful and precious Mother, the Holy Spirit, the Almighty Creatress. Now, in the African Hebrew language, Mother, the word Mother is Aim. So if you put that together with Yahweh, you say Yahweh Aim for Mother in the Hebrew language, and the Mother is the Holy Spirit. Mother Holy Spirit is referred to in the book of Proverbs in the feminine and given the feminine title of wisdom. That word wisdom in the African Hebrew language is chokma. It is a feminine word referring to a feminine entity, in this case our mother, the Holy Spirit. In the Living Bible translation of St. Matthew chapter 1 and verses 19 and 20, we learn that she, our beautiful mother, the Holy Spirit, conceived Jesus. Only the mother conceives, only the feminine, the female conceives. Holy Spirit is feminine, she's our mother. She is not only the mother of Jesus, Mother Holy Spirit. Mother Holy Spirit is our mother, mother of creation, mother of universe, sun, moon, stars, and planets, as father is father of the same. For father and mother have come together to give birth to the whole of creation. These are African symbologies and concepts and African scientific teaching. In the African Hebrew language, the name and title of Mother Holy Spirit are Ruach HaKadosh. And that word Ruach in the is the African Hebrew word for spirit, found under the number 7307. On the Hebrew side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary, that word is feminine, referring to a feminine entity, in this case, our mother, the Holy Spirit. That word Kadosh is the word for holy, a living holy entity. So Ruach HaKadosh, Holy Spirit holy, or Mother Holy Spirit. In the African Arabic language, the name of Mother Holy Spirit is Illa, spelled I-L-L-A-H. That word Illa is not only an African Arabic word, it is an African Hebrew word, and it is feminine, referring to Mother Holy Spirit. And our wonderful Islamic sisters and brothers say, Ashadu Illa Illa Ha'il Allah. And in that phrase, you hear Illa. You also hear Allah. Now, traditionally, this is translated, there is no God but God, or there is no God but Allah. But we know, because Allah is the mother and Allah is the father, that there is none but our mother and our father. For once again, mother and father have come together to give birth to the whole of creation. In Egypt, Mother Holy Spirit is known as Amenet, the hidden an unseen mother. In the tradition of the indigenous peoples of the Western Hemisphere, more commonly known and referred to as Native Americans, Mother Holy Spirit is known as the Great and the Grand Mother. I greet you, my sisters and brothers, with honor and with privilege. I greet you in the name and title of our Lord and Savior, the African Revolutionary Hebrew Messiah, Jesus the Christ. In the African Hebrew language, the name and title of Jesus the Christ are Yahshua, Hamashiach. Yahshua, Hebrew for Jesus. Mashiach, Hebrew for Christ coming through Messiah. Yahshua, Mashiach. And believe it or not, but you best believe it, that Christ has this day been revealed and manifested in the personality of His Imperial Majesty, Emperor Haile I, Selassie I of Ethiopia, the 225th king in the 3,000-year-old Solomonic dynasty. Emperor Haile I, Selassie I, Rastafari I, was crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the conquering lion of the tribe of Judah in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, November 2nd, 1930. We say Jah. I and I say Jah, Rastafari I, Haile I, Selassie I, as Jesus Christ, as Jah's new names in these last days of judgment in Babylon. In this United States of North America empire is modern day Babylon, is no longer a mystery. For we understand prophecy that this United States of North America empire coming out of Britain and Rome is Babylon. And this is the day that Christ would manifest and be revealed in all of our personalities, making all of our names the new names of Jah, the new names of Yahshua Mashiach, the new names of Jesus Christ, in fulfillment of the book of Revelation chapter 3 and verse 12, which teaches us that in the last days, Revelation is the book about the last days of Babylon, the last days of this wicked, no good, rotten system. In the last days, Christ would come, Christ would manifest in the personality of those that are rising up and standing up as revolutionaries, defending the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed, and working to deliver and actually delivering the poor, the afflicted, the needy and the oppressed spiritually, mentally, morally, and physically. This is that day. This is that time. And we are here ready, willing, and able to say that I and I are the I in Haile I, Selassie I, Rastafari I. The first I in Rastology refers to the self united with creation, united with the Creator Father and Creatress Mother. The second I referring to those of the human family outside of yourself, also united with creation and united with Father, Creator, and Mother, Creatress. So all of us are divine manifestations of divinity, living in this divine creation, this divine universe, on this divine planet that we call Earth, in this divine physical house that we call our physical bodies. This is the day of Christ. This is the day of the power of Christ manifesting in our personalities, that we may rise up and stand up against this wicked Babylon system. Let me move to current affairs events. Revelation of Jesus Christ, the book of Revelation. Revelation coming from Apocalypsos, giving us our English apocalypse equivalent to revelation, which means to remove the falsehood so that we may see the truth of this wicked, no good, rotten system, so that we may come together and organize and fight the oppressor with the word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword, and deliver the oppressed from the oppressor. Working on this theme of the second coming of Christ manifested in this time in our midst, as we look around the globe and see the uprisings of the people. And I was listening to the Taylor Report, August 1st edition of the Taylor Report, and I'll have this information in my summary page. And Phil Taylor conducted an interview of Thomas Mountain of Eritrea. And Thomas Mountain keeps us up to the date as to the occurrences going on in Africa and the Middle East, showing us the hidden hand of the United States of North America, Britain, and so on. He's written many articles. And they were talking about Somalia. And you know in the news that it is said that Somalia is going through famine. And we talked in weeks past about the manipulation of food, the price of food and wheat and whatnot. The manipulation of the price of that which the people need, overpricing food and whatnot, driving it out of the range of the means of the people. The people do not have the means to purchase the food. Now, food is a human right. To eat is a human right. To live is a human right. And we have Wall Street and the International Monetary Fund and those corporate elites or corporate plutocrats, and the Wall Street oligarchs and the House of Rothschilds, etc., purposefully overpricing the food, causing famine, causing a dearth of that which the people need. There's enough food, enough resources, that there should be no one hungry in the earth. No one should have to go without resources that are needed by the people. No matter if there is a famine in Somalia, there is enough food and sustenance and resources that there be no hungry on the planet, and every human being has a human right to food and shelter and the resources of the earth. So, Thomas Mountain was talking about the condition in Somalia and pointing out the hidden hand. Now, he talked about how a few years ago, around 2004, 5, and 6 in Somalia, how a Muslim government rose up to give stability to Somalia. You recall the Black Hawk Down situation under George Herbert Walker Bush, if I have it. Was it George Herbert Walker Bush or Bill Clinton? I can't quite remember. It might have been Bill Clinton. But if you research the history of Somalia, you see that America and Britain have always interfered in the affairs of the Somalian people, as they've done in the whole of Africa, the Middle East, and the whole entire planet. And so every time the Somali people rise up to take control of their lives, America, Britain, and the forces of Europe interfere and disconnect the people from the ability to take control over their land and their lives and have self-determination. So around 2005 and 6 in that area, Muslim sisters and brothers rose up and established a Muslim government or an Islamic government and stabilized Somalia. America didn't like that. Britain didn't like that. The International Monetary Fund did not like that. The House of Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers did not like that. So America, the United States of North America, this would be George W. Bush, through Ethiopia, using Ethiopian forces, military, CIA, special ops, so on and so forth, but using Ethiopia as a proxy, using Ethiopia as a proxy, a stand-in on behalf of the business interests of Wall Street banks, International Monetary Fund, etc., invaded Somalia and dissolved the Islamic government and proceeded to install a puppet government. Now, out of all of this chaos that was instigated through Ethiopia by the United States of North America, George W. Bush administration, you had the rise of youth Muslims, young Muslims, Muslim youth who are known today as Al-Shabaab. Now, I probably will have to look up this word. Shabaab is an Arabic word for something I do not know, but this is the name of the Islamic group who are made up of Muslim youth who have risen up out of this chaos instigated by the United States of North America. And so Thomas Mountain went on to say that the Al-Shabaab are defending the Somali people. And he talked about how the World Food Program and the United Nations are accusing Al-Shabaab, this Islamic group made up of Muslim youth, are being accused by the World Food Program and the United Nations of causing the famine in Somalia. Now, Thomas Mountain is pointing out the hypocrisy of the United Nations, the World Food Program, the International Monetary Fund, United States of North America, Europe, Britain, so on and so forth. Thomas Mountain pointed out to us that it was the United Nations some time ago that announced that there was a funding shortfall, that the provisions that are allotted to suffering people, refugees, allotted to those suffering sisters and brothers through funding, wealthy people like Bill Gates and other wealthy people fund the United Nations and fund the World Food Program. The United Nations pointing out there was going to be a 70% cut in funding to the suffering people in Africa and the world, we would say. At the same time this shortfall was announced, United Nations, America, Britain are expanding, we're expanding the war in Somalia, in Mogadishu. No money for food, but plenty of money for warfare and bloodshed. So Thomas Mountain has written an article entitled "The Nasty History in Somalia of the World Food Program." The World Food Program's nasty history in Somalia. And Thomas Mountain's point is that when the United Nations announced this 70% cut. It was the United Nations and the wicked powers that caused this famine. They cut the people 70%. You notice how everywhere, cuts, 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 cut the people. Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, education, cut the people inside of the United States of North America. Cut the people in Africa, cut them in the Middle East, cut them in Europe, cut them all over. This is the plan of the International Monetary Fund and the House of Rothschilds. So, getting back to the World Food Program, pointing out the hypocrisy of accusing Al-Shabaab of this famine, when in reality, it's the United Nations, the World Food Program, and those that are connected to the United Nations and the World Food Program, meaning World Bank Organization, World Trade Organization, International Monetary Fund, United States of North America, Britain, and so on. So Thomas Mountain said that in 2006, pointing out the wicked actions of the World Food Program, in 2006, during the time of harvest in Somalia, the World Food Program dumped free grain on the people. At this time, the Somali farmers were bringing in their harvest and going to market with their harvest. Now, you recall NAFTA, North American Free Trade Agreement, that was a program designed by the Clinton administration to crush farmers in Mexico and other places. You flood the market with cheap food from the United States of North America, and you underprice and undercut the local farmer in Mexico and other third world nations and destroy the farmers. The local farmers have to relinquish their control over their land, lose their land, lose their property, lose their farm, and now they become immigrants traveling, trying to make a living. This is what happened in Somalia. The World Food Program purposefully flooded the Somali market with cheap and free food to undercut the farmers of Somalia, crushing and destroying the farmers and agriculture in Somalia. And let me pause and say, this is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. This is thinkaboutit.org, the Mind of God program. Today's recording date is Sunday, August the 21st, 2011. And sisters and brothers, this is not Al-Shabaab. This is the World Food Program. This is the United Nations. This is the International Monetary Fund. This is Britain, United States of North America. These are the wicked powers crushing local farmers in the so-called third world. The same thing occurred again in 2007. The World Food Program, during the time of harvest, dumped free grain and onto the Somali market and destroyed and crushed the farmers of Somalia. But this time, the World Food Program was protected by Ethiopian troops. Look how this thing goes down. Look at how the wicked powers using Ethiopian military as a proxy to cover up the World Food Program and their wickedness, all designed to destroy the Somali people and then blame the condition of the Somali people on Al-Shabaab. No, we're not going for the okey-doke. So the World Food Program once again destroyed the Somali agriculture and brought in the CIA and other intelligence forces like Mossad, MI5 and 6. So sisters and brothers, is it a wonder that the Muslim youth named Al-Shabaab are saying to the World Food Program, get out of Somalia, we don't want you. I don't blame them. This is the mind of Christ in Muslims. Some of you think this is a contradiction, but it is not a contradiction. The definition of Christ is that spirit to deliver the oppressed from the oppressor. And these Muslim youth named Al-Shabaab, according to what I hear from Thomas Mountain, have the mind of Christ and desire to be delivered of oppression, delivered of the World Food Program, which is nothing but one of these humanitarian organizations set up by the same wicked powers that are destroying Somalia, set up by the House of Rothschilds, set up by the Oppenheimers, set up by the International Monetary Fund, World Bank Organization, World Trade Organization, set up the World Food Program, set up the United Nations, humanitarian programs, the Wall Street oligarchs and the corporate plutocrats set up these groups and fund and finance these groups. And while they appear to be humanitarian on one end, the same wicked forces are in the countries, in the nations, causing the problem, destroying the people, causing a famine, causing a refugee problem. So the same folk that claim to be in your country for humanitarian purpose are the same folk perpetrating warfare and bloodshed, causing the problem. So Al-Shabaab say, get out. And by extension, Al-Shabaab is telling the CIA, the FBI, Mossad, MI5 and 6 to get out of our country and we will solve our own problems. Continuing with this theme of Christ is here. The spirit of Christ, the spirit of Messiah is here for us to tap into that spirit and stand up for equal rights and justice. New expose tracks, ALEC, private prison industry effort to replace unionized workers with prison labor. Many of the toughest sentencing laws responsible for the explosion of the United States population were drafted by American Legislative Exchange Council, which helps corporations write model legislation. Now a new expose reveals ALEC, which is the acronym for American Legislative Exchange Council, has paved the way for states and corporations to replace unionized workers with prison labor. This is Democracy Now. We speak with Mike Elk, contributing labor reporter at The Nation magazine. He says ALEC and private prison companies put a massive amount of people in jail and created a situation where they could exploit that. Elk notes that in 2005, more than 40 million pounds of beef infected with rat feces processed by inmates were not recalled in order not to draw attention to how many products are made by prison labor. We need to tap into the mind of Christ. Look at the prison industrial complex. Look at how our sisters and brothers in the prisons are exploited. You remember some of the prisoners, some of those incarcerated have risen up and went and gone on a hunger strike. Some of them have ceased, some of them have continued or may be ceasing now, but they wanted to protest their condition. That's the mind of Christ. This brother Elk, Mike Elk, has the mind of Christ to expose this wickedness. Here you have some type of council which helps corporations to write legislation. You have what is going on, a privatization of everything in the United States of North America to put all institutions under the auspices of corporations. Who run these corporations? Rothschilds, Oppenheimers, International Monetary Fund, Wall Street oligarchs, corporate plutocrats, to privatize legislation so that the people can be exploited, so that unions may be destroyed, and so that those incarcerated may be used as slaves. And so you see what happens when we don't keep track of such wickedness, we become susceptible to infected foods. Much of our food coming through the hands of inmates, and the proper procedures are not followed to ensure that the food is properly processed, and so now we become susceptible to disease and infected foods. We must tap into the mind of Christ today. Don't wait for tomorrow. We tap into the mind of Christ, and that becomes the second coming in our lives. Wisconsin, recall marks labor win. Election funds raise question as to whether or not the United States is a democracy or a dollarocracy. Let's see, an analysis on the Wisconsin recall vote. We go to Madison to speak with John Nichols, Washington correspondent for The Nation magazine. Although Republicans hold on to a slim 17 to 16 majority after the election, Nichols says the Democrats' pickup of two seats, coupled with the moderate stance of Republican State Senator Bill Shultz, amounts to a new pro-labor majority. You recall that Governor Scott Walker in Wisconsin came down hard on unions and sought to bust up unions and bust up workers and bust up working class people. Well, you recall that some of the Democrats left town to try to stop the vote being pushed by the governor. And some of the programs were pushed through by Governor Scott Walker, who is controlled by the Koch brothers, who are controlled by the House of Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers. But they have now had a recall, and the Democratic Party have regained a couple of seats. Now, we're not dependent on the Democratic Party as a whole, but we know that there are sisters and brothers in the Democratic Party who want to see justice, such as Maxine Waters, who is finally my beautiful elder sister, Mother Maxine Waters, a part of the Democratic Party, but does not want to be a part of that rulership of the Democratic Party who constantly capitulate and bow down to the Republican agenda, which is the script given to the Democratic Party by the House of Rothschild. Bow down and cut the people. Maxine stood up and said, no, Obama should have a backbone and use his bully pulpit to stand up for workers and stand up for poor people. And so, with that in mind, there are a few Democrats in Wisconsin who have the same mentality, and so they have regained a couple of seats to try to offset the wicked machinations of Governor Scott Walker. This is the mind of God, the mind of Christ. This is the second coming of Christ manifesting right in our midst. Standard & Poor's downgrades United States credit ratings for the first time ever. Now, you recall this whole budget situation and how Standard & Poor's are used by the House of Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers to give AAA credit ratings to various nations such as Greece, so that these nations may keep borrowing and borrowing from the House of Rothschilds, and then all of a sudden there is said that there's a budget crisis going on and the people are forced to or maneuvered into cutting the people. The citizens are maneuvered into supporting cuts for the people. So Standard & Poor's has done the same to the United States of North America, given all of these banks and whatnot in the United States of North America AAA rating. And I believe even Buffett has something to do with S&P, because he, although he says things like you should tax the wealthy, he is yet in bed, Warren Buffett of Nebraska, is yet in bed with S&P and has something to do with S&P, and he is connected to the House of Rothschilds and Oppenheimers. But Standard & Poor's giving all of the institutions of the United States of North America AAA rating all the way up to the crash. Then what happens? The people are maneuvered because of the Obama administration, the Bush administration, the Republicans and the Democrats come to you and say, oh, we're in a crisis. You have to support cuts on the people. And so S&P feeding this situation, they said that the problem is because the majority of Republicans in Congress, S&P says, we have changed our assumption on this because the majority of Republicans in Congress continue to resist any measure that would raise revenues, a position we believe Congress reinforced by passing the act. Now this is S&P causing us attempting to cause us to believe that there is a split between Republican controllers and Democrat controllers. See, there are Democrats who yet think Republicans are the problem. There are Republicans who think Democrats are the problem. You and I understand that both parties, now you have some sincere people in the Democratic Party like Maxine Waters, and others. But those that control the Democratic Party and the Obama administration and the Republican Party are all controlled by the same wicked forces. But S&P wants us to continue to think that it's a Democrat-Republican problem. No. Get rid of S&P. Get rid of the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, and let us, the people, be the third voice and the third force for real and true change, and tap into the Christ spirit. Now, recently Bill Clinton apologized for devastating the Haitian rice farming. Remember what we said about NAFTA? Remember what we said about the World Food Program and the United Nations? Clinton, Bill Clinton, devised schemes to destroy the Haitian farmers in the 90s, underpricing Haitian farmers with, I think, rice and other goods from Arkansas farmers and other farmers in the United States of North America. This destroyed the agriculture of Haiti. This destroyed agribusiness in Haiti. This destroyed the farmers of Haiti. And so Bill Clinton comes before the world and says, I apologize. We don't go for that. Bill Clinton, you are one of those wicked puppets who are used by the real puppeteers and puppet masters, Rothschilds and Oppenheimers, to destroy the people. Bill Clinton had the nerve to say, it's not anybody else, it's me. All my fault, just Bill Clinton. See, he doesn't want us to look at those puppeteers, the real true powers behind the destruction of the human family, the House of Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers and Wall Street and the corporate elites and the 1%, 2% ruling class and families, the synagogue of Satan, are they who are really behind this wickedness. Bill Clinton doesn't want us to see. He's being he has taken on the role of the fall guy. But we know that Bill Clinton, you're nothing but a puppet. Hillary Clinton, you're nothing but a puppet. Barack Obama, you're nothing but a puppet. George W. Bush, you're a puppet. They show you to us so that we may lose focus on those who are really behind you. Rothschilds, Oppenheimers, synagogue of Satan. A report has shown us that the United States funded firm training African Union troops in Somalia. Let me get this right quick. The Associated Press has revealed that the United States is helping fund a private company to train African Union soldiers for the fight against Al-Qaeda-linked militants in the capital of Mogadishu, Somalia. So what we see is that the United States, with their FBI, is training. They are training troops to fight Al-Shabaab. We just talked about Al-Shabaab. What in the world does the FBI have to do with Mogadishu? I thought the FBI was an organization that only dealt with the United States of North America, domestic problems. I thought it was the CIA that dealt with foreign affairs and policy and problems. But you see that the United States is looking at the whole world as a part of their jurisdiction. The Obama administration, the government of the United States of North America, under the impetus or the direction of the House of Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers, are all over the earth training people to fight revolutionaries, to squash revolution, to continue to colonize the earth. We're going to take our first break, and I will see you on the other side of the break.